to ghost in after the four thugs and kill them. But he figured that Strasser would probably have ordered some sort of backup patrol following to check any attempt to slip out the back door from the searchers. The four came out again, barely bothering to take even a cursory glance around the wilderness that had once been a trim garden. Three of them lighted cigarettes and stood together talking quietly. One of the men, short and plump, had allowed his right hand to creep around the back of the woman, fondling her buttocks, slipping his fingers through one of the ragged tears in her pants, and caressing her, high between the thighs. She, in turn, pressed her hip against his, turning to smile at him. Ryan felt a trickle of sweat running down his chest, across the flat, muscular wall of his stomach. Moving with infinite slowness, he switched the panga into his other hand, wiping sweat from his fingers on the thigh of his breeches. He waited. There they were, the backup that he'd predicted Strasser would have ordered. But he guessed that Jordan Teague's old sec boss wouldn't have been pleased to see the languid way his men were now operating, late in the tedious, sweltering day. They had their rifles slung across their backs, and they sauntered into the garden, hands in pockets. Both were smoking.
What's up, fuckfaces?
Fuck your own face, bitch.
They all hung around, chatting, and Ryan realized that these six must be the lingering rear guard, with nobody else following behind. If they were going to deplete Strasser's forces, this could be the time to think about it. But it had to be done quietly. One yell and they could have another 15 or more armed killers surrounding them. Two of the original four started to move off, leaving behind the pair of newcomers and their own comrades, the man and the woman.
Now time to do some fucking of my own.
The woman turned and slid down the zipper on the plump man's pants, inserting her hand in an utterly unmistakable gesture. The two of them started to pick their way through the garden toward Ryan's hiding place, making him draw his hand blaster. But they veered to the right, behind one of the yuccas, and he could hear them pushing through some long, dry grass. The last two of Strasser's men lay back in the door of the house, dozing in the late afternoon sunshine. Away toward the street side of the garden, Ryan thought he heard the faint sound of a scuffle, but he strained and heard nothing more. One of the men by the house pushed his cap back off his eyes and joined in the laughter.
Ah, give it to her, Eduardo.
Enjoy it while it lasts, you stupid bastard.
Ryan squinted again past the cactus, noticing that the pair of Strasser's men by the house's faded walls were both dozing, eyes closed. To his right was a clump of heavily scented mountain laurel, covered with violet flowers. Behind it was a narrow gap to the thick hedge of dark green yew. Cautiously, and without any sound, Ryan eased himself from behind the cactus, along past the glossy leaves of the laurel, hearing the panting of the couple growing louder and more insistent. The smooth hilt of the panga was snug in his right hand, and he'd slowed his breathing, maintaining full control over himself, knowing that the next minute or so could alter the lives of everyone in the garden. Ryan was conscious of the strong smell of old dry dust as he pushed his way quietly past the sharp leaves of the yew hedge, moving with infinite caution until he could see the interlocked figures ahead of him. The man was on his back in the small trampled clearing, pants down around his ankles. The woman's torn trousers were in the grass, and she squatted on top of the man, bracing herself with hands on his hairy chest, her head thrown back. Ryan edged around until he was directly behind her, out of sight of the moaning man, whose boots were now pushing hard against the sandy soil, pressing himself onward and upward. It was a scene frozen in a wilderness. Apart from the thrashing couple and their silent watcher, nothing else existed. They could all have been 1,000 miles away from another human being. Ryan crouched, stepped from cover, the panga in his hand.
Fuck me! Fuck me!
You like that, don't you, bitch?
Eduardo was locked tight in a living daydream. His eyes were squeezed shut, and his nails gouged into the yellow earth beneath him. All that had been said about Maria was true. She was truly giving him 2 downs for every up, her hips sucking him deep into the warm, moist core of her body.
Oh, yes! Yes!
Maria's body suddenly went slack, slumping down across him, hot sweat flooding the side of his neck and shoulders. His nostrils twitched as he caught an acrid, unpleasant smell.
What the... What the fuck?
Ryan leaned over the woman's corpse, trying to avoid the arterial blood that still gushed from her severed throat.
Oh, shit!
Ryan thrust the point of his punka into the man's gaping mouth. Ryan put his weight and strength behind the long blade, driving it out the back of the helpless man's neck and a foot deep into the earth behind his skull. Eduardo's last sight, as his eyes missed it and life departed, was the deathly smile on the face of the lean, one-eyed man above him.
Hope it was worth it.
Ryan set his boot across the dying man's forehead and braced himself to draw out the panga, wiping it hastily on the woman's pants. It was important to move fast before the two dozing members of Strasser's killer band woke up. If they could also be killed without raising any alarm, then Skullface would take it hard, and it wouldn't do his people's morale a lot of good. Both men still lay where they'd been, unmoving, M16s resting across their thighs. All it would take was two quick, carefully aimed shots from the silenced pistol. He saw the man's skull jerk as the bullet hit home, and a small, neat hole appeared smack between the eyes. Ryan's mind registered the odd fact that there wasn't even a residual twitch from the man's arms or legs as he lined up the second shot. The other man's head knocked back, the hole drilled through the center of the temple. Looking around, Ryan parted the undergrowth and stepped out, the muzzle of his blaster probing at the warm air. But nothing stirred. Christy appeared in the doorway to the left of the bodies, smiling broadly at him.
Fire blast.
Made you jump, lover?
Damn it, Christy. I could have put a couple of rounds through you.
JB eased himself around the corner of the wall to the right of the corpses.
Be like you to waste a couple of rounds, Ryan.
What do you mean, JB?
Ryan was thrown slightly by what was obviously a private joke between JB and Christy.
Look at the stiffs.
Ryan stared down.
Fireblast. Couldn't see from over there. Both of their necks and chests in shadow. Nice ones.
The men had already been killed, which answered the question about why they had been so still when he shot them. Both had their throats neatly opened, the blood soaking quickly into the thirsty earth. Major Ward appeared then at the edge of the garden, beckoning to them with the barrel of one of his peacemakers.
The kid says he figures we best get moving as soon as possible. Thinks that Skullface and his men could be coming back real soon.
The Wagmaster was pale, and he looked away from the two corpses by the house. The flies were already gathering, attracted by the fresh, sweet blood. Ryan, Christy, and JB followed him into the bushes, spotting Jack squatting on his heels by the rotted remains of the old front gate.
You see the other two leaving, Jack? We chilled the other four.
The teenager jerked his thumb behind him. Lying against the hedge were two corpses.
Killed them both with thrown knives. Damnedest thing I ever did see.
Ryan nodded approvingly.
Good, Jack. Real good. Now let's go find some other place to hide. Court Strasser's gonna be well pissed at us.
Six. Eduardo Mengele, Maria Holtz, Jesus Martinez, Diego...
That's enough, Rafe. Names don't mean shit. But to lose six of our fighters just like that...
The two by the house had their throats opened up and then they were shot.
Strasser looked up. The one oval mirror with its brass cherub supports reflected his puzzled expression.
After they were dead?
Seems that way. The bullet wounds hadn't bled none.
And two were butchered in mid-fuck. Ryan Calder is developing himself a fine sense of humor.
Kind of end-of-fuck rather than the middle, by what we found.
The lieutenant was relieved, now that it looked like Strasser wasn't going to kill him on the spot.
And two with stab wounds. Perhaps the snow-headed little fellow with his throwing knives? Six dead. I think it is time to operate Plan B, Rafe.
What is Plan B, boss?
Hunting failed. I blame myself for that. Should have figured Ryan would chill the shit out of the offer we got here. Well, now we'll enter trade mode.
Strasser glanced across the carriage to where the woman Rosa sat at the walnut table, playing a complicated game of solitaire. As Strasser looked at her, she came to the end, blocked by a red 10. He smiled as she tore the card in half and dropped it on the carpet, continuing with her game.
Yes. Change the rules of the game, Rafe. That's our next step. But we'll wait a while. Keep Ryan in suspense. Keep the prisoners carefully and give them some food and water. A little.
Supplies are kind of low, boss.
Yeah. First light, I want a work party cutting wood. We'll head off into the hills day after tomorrow. Take what's left.
What about trading?
Rosa had completed her game. 5 torn cards were on the floor by her polished